I like things my way. My coffee, my schedule, and my treatment. So I talked to my doctor about self-injecting with the VivGuard Hytrulo prefilled syringe, which contains efgartigimod alpha and hyaluronidase QVFC. It's injected under your skin, subcutaneously. It means I can inject in my space, on my time. It's my treatment, my way. Visit VivGuardMyWay.com. That's V-Y-V-G-A-R-T MyWay.com. And talk to your doctor about VivGuard Hytrulo, brought to you by Argenix.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome to part two of our conversation with Elliot Van Dusen about dissecting the dead.
When it comes to being out there and investigating and actually having experience, we've been talking a lot about not necessarily debunking, but finding explanations for experiences. Tell me about some of those that you've had that, you know, they can't be explained by an EMF signal or carbon monoxide or something else that would logically explain it. What were some of the experiences that you've had beyond that first one that you told me about as you've investigated over the years that really stand out to you?
Well, the next one that would stand out to me would have been the first book I wrote, Evil in Exeter, which was a haunting investigation of a private residence in Exeter, Rhode Island. What had happened there is I'd met the homeowner on Instagram. I had seen a photo of her, actually, and she kind of looked like Dana Scully from The X-Files, so I just commented on her picture saying, "You look like Gillian Anderson in this photo." And she private messaged me saying, "Actually, I was in a top 10 contest and I won like one of the top 10 people that looked like Gillian Anderson or whatever." And she sent me the magazine clipping.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of cool. So we got talking and, you know, told her as a police officer, told her, you know, I'm into the paranormal. And she told me that she's been surrounded by ghosts her whole life and that her homes have always been haunted and things like that. And we talked back and forth online for quite a few months. And then I was single at one point. So I said, you know what? I said, I'm going to fly down here and meet this girl. And she told me, she showed me around Rhode Island, some of their cool haunted sites. So I did. I flew down and we spent the weekend. She took me to, we saw the Real Conjuring House out in Harriet's Field. We saw the Devil's Footprints in North Kingston, Rhode Island. We saw the home that was based on the funeral home that was based on the movie Haunting in Connecticut. Mm-hmm. Where else do we go? Oh, Mercy Brown, a gravestone of a young girl in Exeter, Rhode Island that was accused of being a vampire. So it's a really cool weekend. And we continued to talk after that. And the next time I decided to go down to visit, she offered me to stay at her house instead of a hotel. And she just warned me, though. She said, you know, every time I have a boyfriend over or I have another guy over or whatever, there seems to be a lot of activity that happens in this house. And so I just, you know, I just thought, okay, yeah, like, didn't really, I wouldn't say I didn't, like, I did believe her, but I just wasn't concerned about it or didn't think that anything was going to happen. So I went down and sure enough, you know, I started hearing like footsteps. I started hearing doors open and close, and then things started to progress. I would see doors open and close on their own, locks lock and unlock on their own. So then I brought some equipment down, and this kind of went on for about 6 months between me traveling back and forth from Rhode Island to Nova Scotia. So I brought my equipment down, and the EMF reading, it was a fairly new house and a fairly new subdivision. The EMF readings were fine. There was absolutely nothing wrong with the wiring in the house. There was nothing wrong with the property, so underwater springs or anything like that. The area was fine. There was no history or negative history where the subdivision was built. And things started to kind of get progressively worse. There would be like house flies, almost like in the scene from Amityville Horror. There would just be like hundreds of these house flies that would just materialize in the house. There would be no doors open, no windows open. We had to buy like those fly strips, and within minutes of hanging them, there'd be 20, 30 flies captured. TVs, again, would go on and off by themselves. There'd be strange raps you would hear coming from upstairs or on the from the ceiling, or different than a house settling sound. It was like actual like knocks. One of the scariest things that happened was there was a lot of activity happening in the house with the footsteps and feeling tired. Everyone in the house would feel like tired. And we went to the local Catholic church that week and had got some holy water. And later that night, it was about 1:30 in the morning, all of a sudden the fire alarm system went off in the house, and it kind of talked to you. So it said, fire, alarm, warning, fire in the house. So we woke up and we're looking around the house, and there's absolutely nothing. There's no smoke. There's no fire. All the alarms upstairs and downstairs are connected, so when one goes off, they all go off, and they would not turn off. So I went and grabbed the holy water just to see. And every time you'd shout, because I at that point I felt like it was an entity trying to communicate with us, and every time you would shout at the entity to stop or you know, to leave the family alone, the alarm would start going again. And I took the holy water and I would splash each individual alarm with it. And only once it was splashed with the holy water, that particular alarm stopped, but the rest in the house kept going. And so I had to go to room to room to room to turn them off. And I did that upstairs, not downstairs. And then the homeowner was so freaked out. She's like, let's just go. We didn't have her two kids at that time. They were staying with their dad. She's like, let's just leave the house. So I left my phone there and I put it on the audio recording, and we left the house and we drove to Narragansett, I think. And we just hung out at the beach for a couple hours trying to figure out what my next investigative step was going to be for the house. And when we got back home the next day, I reviewed the audio recording, and the moment we left the house, the fire alarm stopped. And it was completely quiet in the house for the 2-3 hours we were gone, except for over the 2-3 hours we were gone, you could hear a loud bang every once in a while. There'd just be like a loud like thump. And then that was it. And then after that, it was quiet in the house for a couple of days. So we eventually tried to reach out to the family's priest, who had done deliverance work, which is the Catholic term for like exorcism type work.
Yeah.
But he was too sick at the time, and he had been reassigned to other duties. He wasn't doing deliverance work. So we ended up having to get a medium involved that we knew and trusted. And this medium had come in, and she was non-denominational, so she had sage for sure, and then some other herbs, and she had lit them on fire in a pie plate, and was saying her prayers all around the house, and eventually went up to the master bedroom, which is where the medium felt the portal was, or where the entity was coming in from or connected to. Mm-hmm. And I had just recently purchased a FLIR, so a forward infrared thermal camera. And so the medium was on one side of the bed and the homeowner and I were on the other side of the bed. And all of a sudden we could feel a cold spot in between me and the homeowner and actually got goosebumps. And the FLIR didn't pick up anything, which is actually not uncommon during paranormal investigations, that equipment won't pick up the temperature change, but people feel or perceive the temperature changing. Mm-hmm. So we could feel and our bodies were responding to a temperature change. And then all of a sudden, we could see appearing on the thermal camera as the medium was calling the entity towards her. We could see these like dark, distorted, almost like hoof-like footprints kind of appear across the bed comforter. Mm-hmm. And it walked towards the pie plate and then walked around the pie plate. And we didn't tell the medium this at the time. We just kind of looked at each other, looked at the screen and could see this appearing. And all of a sudden the medium says, I kind of feel like the entity might be over by me. And I was looking at the FLIR and I was thinking, you know, no kidding.
Yeah.
From what we're seeing here. And so anyway, I remember she said Michael the Archangel prayer, and she said a couple other prayers. And then all of a sudden, the footprints on the bed disappeared, and she felt that the entity had departed. But me and the homeowner kind of looked at each other, and we said, well, we don't feel any different, or, you know, we didn't sense like an energy shift or anything like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, she was explaining like, well, it's not like the movies, like when you cast out, you know, an entity that the windows blow out and papers start flying around the room and drawers start, you know, ripping out of the dresser. But whatever she did, that was back in, I think, November of 2018. And the family hasn't experienced anything since. But there was a lot of things there that I just couldn't explain through science. It was just so much. You know, there was two other big incidents that I remember from that house too. One was one trip I had gone down. I was trying to provoke the entity, which in hindsight is stupid, and I realized that was kind of a hard lesson for me to learn, not to provoke an entity. But we had gone into the master bedroom. I asked for a sign that the entity was present and asked him to leave the homeowners alone, and nothing happened. But the next day we were driving in the car and we had just gone to pick the kids up from school, just pulled back into the driveway, and Haley had her music playing on in her car through her phone through Bluetooth. But all of a sudden her music stopped and you could hear me come over her car speakers saying, if there's anything present, give me a sign. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to give me a sign. And all of a sudden I realized that's a recording from yesterday. And so I pulled my cell phone out and somehow something had connected my phone to her car. Had found the sound file on my phone because I had multiple sound files, had skipped forward on that sound file to the part where I actually said that and then played it over her car radio. Like that's a lot of steps to just randomly
happen. Yeah, that's even creepier than somebody back in the day calling a DJ for a request and it just happens to work out at the right time.
it was something like pretty much like that. So that one was, you know, I couldn't figure that out. And then the other incident that stands out about that case, and I have pictures in my book as well of some of this stuff, like the house flies, the fire alarms that were going off.
Sure.
This I have pictures of what happened next on the cell phone. But one morning I was back in Canada. And Haley's morning routine was her daughter went to school full time in the morning. Her son went to pre-kindergarten, and in the States, you have the option to send them in the morning or the afternoon. So she would send her son in the afternoon. And so in the morning, it would just be her and her son home. And their morning routines go downstairs to the basement and clean out the cat litter box and make sure the cats have food and water. So this one morning, she left her phone upstairs face up. And when her and her son Cameron got up upstairs, her phone was lit up So she thought either I texted her or her mom had texted her. So she went and looked at her phone, but something had spoken into Siri and it said, "Hey, Siri, Malik, dirty girl," which didn't make any sense. And then the response said, "In my realm, you can be anything," I think it said. "In my realm, you can be anything." And that's just going from memory, but the proper one would be definitely in my book, but that's going from memory. And so she took a screenshot of it and she called me and she told me. And I said, "Okay, that's strange." I said, "Let me do a couple tests." So I did it on my phone, and the proper response at the time for the iOS software should have been, "I just don't understand this gender thing." So then I had my business partner and co-founder of Paranormal Phenomena Research Investigation, who's in Boston, on the same cell phone network that Haley was on, which is AT&T, and had him do the same thing. And he got the exact same response that I did up in Canada. Mm-hmm. Should have said, "I just don't understand this gender thing." Had another person do it on their iPhone, and they had the same response that I did. We could not get the same response that Haley had gotten. So, of course, we contacted Apple, and they didn't have an explanation for why the iOS software was saying what it said on Haley's phone and not on the other phones.
Yeah.
So then I said, "Well, Malik, that's a strange name. So let me do some research." So I started looking into Malik, and when Haley was a teenager, she had been approached by her sister had been approached by an Arabic medium. And this Arabic medium had just randomly had this warning for her sister and said, "You got to tell your sister that she has a jinn attached to her. And this jinn is not very nice. And he's possessive of her." And so anyway, when I was researching Malik, I found that in the Quran, there was a jinn, which is there's good jinns and bad jinns in the Quran, which is almost the equivalent of angels and demons. Mm-hmm. And Malik is a bad jinn that is in charge of hell. And he basically tortures souls that go to hell. He's responsible for turning up the heat in hell and torturing people. So later that day, I'm like, okay, this is getting really interesting now, because we got the medium that had talked about a jinn being attached to her many years ago. That's probably what's been following her around. Now you got the name Malik, which is a jinn in the Quran. Later that morning, her son brings her a picture of a stick figure with blue swirls all around him. So she says, "Oh, what's this picture of, Cameron?" And he responded to her. He said, "Well, that's the little boy that I see in my toy room that likes to play in fire." And there's a picture of Malik on the internet. It's like a painting or a drawing of him. And basically it's like this demon that's surrounded by flames in hell torturing souls. And I was like, okay. I was like, well, that's another like really huge, strange thing that happened today. And then the third thing, which I don't put as much weight into, but it is a third factor, is that when she went to go get his clothes for afternoon school, she had a statue of the Virgin Mary up on their armoire. Mm-hmm. And their TV was up there as well. And I've seen these kids like climb the armoire, like when they can't find their controller to turn the volume up or change the channel or whatever. And they never once have knocked the statue over. But that day when she went upstairs after the message on the iPhone and after the picture Cameron had drawn of the boy that likes to play in his toy room in fire, the statue of the Virgin Mary was found face down on the floor, almost like it, you know, had been knocked over or molested. And so that was the third and final thing that happened all in that day. And obviously, if anyone's familiar with demonology, they usually things that happen in a home that is allegedly haunted by a demon happen in threes. So that was the other incident that really stood out. So when you look at the whole totality of that situation, there was a lot that I just could not explain through common sense, through science. Obviously I was even looking for any sort of fraud or anything like that, you know, almost like, similar to the Enfield poltergeist case where, you know, the Society for Psycho Research members found legitimate phenomena occurring, but they also caught some fraud as well, you know, cause the kids were trying to hype it up a little bit more than what it was. Mm-hmm. So I even had that in mind, but, yeah, I just, there was a whole lot about that case that I could not explain. And I was actually, I even hate to say it, I don't know why, and there's nothing to be ashamed about, but that case scared me. And, you know, I've had knives on me. I've been in life or death situations as a police officer. And I think that the supernatural is a lot more scarier than that, just because you don't know exactly what's in front of you. And you know, if a guy's coming at you with a knife, you know how to self-defend yourself, or you have lethal force as an option. But with the supernatural, you've got nothing, and you can't fully see the threat that's in front of you.
That's true. I mean, I would say a lot of people, and most would say, you know, the living are far more scary than the dead. In terms of what they have the ability to do. But until you come face to face with something like that and are able to see the power that sometimes these things have, it's the unknown that adds to that factor of what is this actually capable of. Have you ever had a moment where you said, okay, you know, this is interesting and fun and all, but, you know, maybe this, I've gone too deep into this, or had an experience where you wanted to back out a little bit because you found out, or you found that this is getting a little bit too risky or life and death-ish?
The Exeter case, I was, after I had tried to provoke the entity, and I had done that about two or three times, and things would happen. So the one time I had provoked it, the recording had played the next day. When I was yelling, when the fire alarms were going off, it seemed to get, the fire alarms would get more aggressive, because of my yelling. And, the third, thing that kind of happened in that case, was the behavior of, Haley's son, Cameron, started to get really bizarre. Like, he would start like hissing at us and like spitting and like fighting and like not typical behavior for this like sweet little boy. Mm-hmm. And so we had some blessed medallions that I'd gotten when I was back in Canada, and her kids always wore like cheap kid jewelry and stuff like that. So she managed to put on a couple of the blessed medallions and that around his neck, and all of a sudden he would like when his, and he had it on before this behavior started. But when the behavior started, I remember there was one incident. He ripped the necklaces off his neck, threw it across the floor, and said, that's from the church, he said. And he threw it across the floor. Mm-hmm. And it was crazy. He would only rip off like anything that had been blessed.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was worried. Like I felt like unsafe. I felt, you know, geez, like maybe I should go back to Canada and never come back. You know, as a police officer, your number one goal is to help people. And that's what it should be. I think that message gets lost in parapsychological investigations. You often hear stories about, someone contacts a paranormal investigator team. My house is haunted. Come help me. They come in with all their equipment. You know, they tramp around their home. They give their opinion, then they disappear, and that's it. But it doesn't solve the problem. Doesn't help the family. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to give up on this family. So like I really stuck with it, even though I didn't want to, even though I wanted to run away, just kind of let someone else maybe deal with it. But you know, luckily. Again, and it could just be pure fluke. But luckily, when we contacted the medium, she was able to come in and kind of do her thing and brought peace to the family, because they haven't had any issues since then. And one question I often get asked about that case is, did I think that it was a demon? I mean, certainly there was there were some signs that it could have been demonic, but am I 100% sure that it was a demon? I can't say yes or no.
Yeah.
Because I'm not sure. There are some nasty people in this world, and I've dealt with them through policing. And what we believe in parapsychology is that when the physical body dies and your human consciousness goes to wherever it goes, your personality follows that as well. Mm-hmm. So if you were a kind, sweet, caring person in real, you know, in the human form, and you die, that's going to carry over. into the afterlife. If you were a miserable, evil person in real life, that is also going to carry over as well. So, I mean, it's possible that this could have just been one really nasty person, or, you know, maybe it was something else, but I can't say for 100%.
Sure. One more for you, because you're in the area that I find very fascinating, up there in Nova Scotia. Halifax, a very interesting town, and I visited it once and loved it, but probably for more morbid reasons than just like its beauty. But the history, I mean, it has a tragic history. The 1917 explosion,
yes.
The Titanic bodies being buried there. That town itself, with its storied history, is it more haunted than others, just because of what's going on there? Have you had any experiences in that area?
Oh, lots of experiences. Yes. It's, I don't know if I'd say if it's haunted more so than other spots. I mean, all of, Atlantic, US states have a lot of history. Mm-hmm. Atlantic Canada has a lot of history. Europe has a lot of history because they're all kind of connected and had settlers come. So obviously all those areas have a lot of supernatural history to them. Mm-hmm. But Halifax had two events happen. One was the Halifax explosion, which killed a lot of people. There was a cool story on my, I want to say, second book that I wrote, Supernatural Encounters, True Paranormal Accounts from Law Enforcement, about the courthouse on Devonshire Road. And a sheriff friend of mine has seen the spirit of a little girl, because before it was a courthouse, it was a school when the Halifax explosion happened. And this little girl was on her way to school and got killed from the explosion. And sheriffs have seen her spirit roaming the courthouse on the cameras. A really good restaurant. Don't know if you had a chance to hit it up when you were in town, but it's the Five Fishermen restaurant. And it's very well known to be haunted. It might even be listed on their website. But it used to be Snow's funeral home back in the day. So that has housed bodies from both the Halifax explosion and when the Titanic was when they were recovering bodies from the Titanic before they were buried at Fairview Cemetery. They were put at Snow's funeral home, which is now known as Five Fishermen Restaurant, which is a great high-end seafood restaurant. But the staff still report activity happening there, dishes breaking spontaneously, things being moved around after hours. I even was being served by a waiter and I asked him if he had any experiences. He said he didn't, but he pointed to his friend that was working the bar. And he said that his friend went upstairs to where the offices are, and he could hear metal clanking on the floor. When he turned around, this old skeleton key had materialized out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And very, very fascinating. But the city is full of ghost stories just because it is so old. Alexander Keith's Brewery is another location where Alexander Keith himself has been seen to roam the hallways, checking to make sure that his beer production is still going as smoothly as possible. Like, this guy loved his brewery so much that he had built a tunnel from his brewery to his home, which was about a block away. So it only makes sense that when he died, his spirit kind of still hangs out at this place, because that was like his life. It's a great city to be a paranormal investigator in.
Yeah, I would imagine. I mean, there's so much the energy there. It's such an interesting place to visit, and one of my favorites. I've only been there once, like I said, but it was quite an experience.
If you ever come back, you'll have to look me up, and I'll connect you to some of the spots that you'll have to go see for sure.
Are there any experiences or things that have been reported surrounding the Titanic, the museum area, or the cemetery that would connect the spirits of those who passed on in the ship? I mean, it's interesting. I was shocked by some of the things in that museum, specifically the giant chunk of the grand staircase back that sits in there.
Yeah, so the museum, the Maritime Museum of Atlantic, is known to be haunted, but believe it or not, the stories don't really surround the Titanic. There's a a light or a mirror that refracts light from a lighthouse from Sandboro that is kept to the main floor of the Maritime Museum of Atlantic. And there's some ghost stories around that about a soldier, I believe, that had gone to town and spent some military money that he was not supposed to spend on alcohol. And something tragic happened to him, and now his spirit's been associated to this lighthouse. But yeah, it does have Titanic artifacts here. Like, there's chairs from the deck, like you said, piece of the grand staircase. There's some like life preserver kind of things, but nothing that I am aware of that's been reported linked to the Titanic. Fairview Cemetery, I mean, you hear ghost stories there, almost like all cemeteries, but nothing specifically linked back to the Titanic. The interesting thing that got people really excited was there's a tombstone in the Fairview Cemetery and a body from the Titanic, and it's on the tombstone, it's marked J. Dawson, which a lot of people thought might have been modeled after the main character that Leonardo DiCaprio played, Jack Dawson, but apparently no relation. But it does get a lot of visitors there. There's always tours that go there because it is, you know, it is pretty cool. I know actually my partner Daryl Walsh used to be on the Titanic Society's board of directors, and there was a guy down the States that wanted to come up here and dig up all the bodies from the Titanic and take DNA samples and try and match some of the unknown people to any relatives or anything like that. But it was a kind of a big political fight not to disturb the graves and things like that. And they never did do it. I could see some benefits, but I could also like see some disadvantages to, because they wouldn't have had to just disturb the Titanic graves. They would have had to disturb some of the other graves around it. So, the Titanic, is definitely a big part of Halifax's history. It's not like Ghostbusters either. You don't get reports of the Titanic rolling into our dockyard or anything like that. Very fascinating history.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Elliot Van Dusen. A big thank you to him for sharing his experiences with us on the program today. And thank you to you for supporting us and keeping us on the air. We would not exist without it. Until next time, for all of us at The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
Every dating app swap is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino. Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Modo Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Modo Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Modo Casino app today.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino. Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Modo Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Modo Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Modo Casino app today.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.